Psalm 88 in the Bible. And we want to begin reading with verse number 1. The psalm said, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before Thee. Let my prayer come before Thee. Incline Thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength, free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in the darkest, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Selah. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that. Let's try to pray. Our Father, I'm thankful for the good song service that we've enjoyed. Thank You for the good spirit amongst Your people. And Lord, for the privilege to be in God's house tonight. Thank You, Lord, for the blessings of the day. Those times that we've seen the hand of God work mightily throughout this day. And Lord, we pray that we'll see that same gracious hand working in the lives of others within our own church. And Lord, to give strength to bodies and healing grace to illnesses and sicknesses and diseases. I pray, Lord, that You'd bless us with spiritual strength and power. I pray, Father, tonight that You'd be pleased to meet with Your people. Forgive us of our sin. I pray You'd be pleased to touch the preacher. Give me thoughts that I know not of myself, even things that are not within me that can only come from the throne of grace. For without it, we'll surely fail tonight. I'd give You the glory for saving souls and changing lives and blessing Your people and glorifying the precious name of the Son of God. And Father, we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I want to read tonight as our text verse, the last verse that I read to you, verse number 8. And the psalmist says there, Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I want you to notice the next little statements that the psalmist here, a man by the name of Heman, what he writes in this next statement. He said, I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. I thought that was such a strange statement. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. And it caught my eye in such a way that I had to read into it a little more and try to glean what I could glean from that verse of Scripture to find out exactly what this psalmist is referring to when he said, I am shut up and I cannot come forth. Now listen very carefully, and I won't take long because about all I got to do is read these things. I don't have any points under them. But the statements I'm going to make are valuable. I'm confident of that. But I want to try to preach, as God would help me tonight, on this thought, bound in the prison of self. Bound in the prison of self. The psalmist said there, I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. He wasn't in a real prison. He wasn't in a dungeon, but he was bound in the prison of self and could not seem to escape himself. You might be shocked at the people that are living in our Baptist churches that are caught up and held captives in their own bodies. Held captives in their own minds. They're shut up and they cannot come out. They cannot come forth. Now, If you read the introduction, I didn't take time to read that to the psalm, but it is another of the psalms of instruction. And there's great instruction here for us as a child of God. It was written by a man by the name of Heman the Ezrahite. And many, many, many commentators have tried to identify this troubled and miserable man. And if you would read down through the whole psalm, you would find that to be a fact. That of all the psalms that I've read, and I've read this one God only knows how many times, but I've never seen the misery, and I've never seen the trouble, the sorrow and the grief that this man by the name of Heman was going through. But he was shut up within himself. And all that was going on about him was from within and not from without. And he could not seem to find a way of escape. I'm sure he tried every avenue possible, but there was no way to escape. Have you ever talked to people like that? That are shut up in their own minds, they cannot express themselves, and they cannot seem to escape the thoughts of their own mind. And they're shut up to self in the misery that lies there. And that's where we find this man by the name of Heman. And as I said, many have tried to identify him. No doubt he was a troubled and miserable man. And whether they have succeeded or not, I'll be honest, I cannot say. I cannot be dogmatic. I do not know. One of the commentators even suggested that possibly this psalm dates back to the origin of Abraham and was written about a certain or particular time in the life of Father Abraham. Now, personally, I doubt that, but I couldn't deny it because I don't know, and I doubt to say anybody else knows either. But one thing is sure, and catch this now, that its prophetic design describes our Lord Jesus being bound in Gethsemane. He was bound up in himself, and he could not, as Heman said here, bound up, shut up in himself, and he could not come forth. But it deals with him being bound in the Garden of Gethsemane and being led away by those that despised him, bound within himself and captured only, get this, by his own prophetic utterances, to be crucified for the transgressions of others. Have you ever stopped and thought about that? That the Lord's own prophetic statements bound him to self in Gethsemane and led him away himself to a lonely hill called Golgotha, and there gave his life amongst two thieves, died on Calvary for you and I, being bound up in himself, shut up, and he could not get out until he had drank the last bitter dreg because he had prophesied that of his own self, of his own life, and what God says not only must come true, but it surely will come to pass. Amen. It may be, as Miss Sandy saying, it may appear to be 4 days late to you and I, but he's always on time, and it will come to pass. There's no doubt about it. Yet there is another side of this story. A man by the name of Heman, shut up within himself, locked away in his own mind, unable to escape the cell that prevented him, sick in either body or soul, and possibly in both. And I think I'm preaching this because of the sicknesses, the illnesses, and the diseases that we face in our church. And not only here, but about everywhere I go and from all other preachers that I talk to, many of their people are in the same predicament. I've never seen so many of God's people bound by sickness. Now, I want to say this. You can take sickness so long, but eventually it's going to begin to play upon your mind. And if you're not careful, it will shut you up in your mind until you cannot come forth. In other words, you will sit and contemplate and meditate and think upon that sickness, that illness, or that disease until it literally controls the very fiber of your being and your entire life. And that can happen. Sicknesses can do that. May I say, secondly, that soul diseases can do the same thing. There can be sin in our life that shuts us up to ourselves, and that is all that is on our mind. And there's no way to escape that. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the devil is a great influencer of the mind, and he'll see to it that those problems and those miseries that you're experiencing, that you're constantly held in thought of them all. The devil will see to that. And he's very crafty at doing that. Absolutely. This man is terribly troubled. He's lonely. He's forsaken by friends and by his lovers. But there are some rays of sunshine that appear for this pitiful pilgrim who appears to be helpless and hopeless in his life. And I started to point those out, and it just got carried away, and I'm not going to have time to. But if you'll notice what he says in verse number 1, I'm going to go down through these verses and just kind of exhort you in them, and we're going home. But notice what he says in verse 1, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night unto Thee. Number one, he recognizes still in his misery, still in his trouble, still shut up in his own mind, unable to escape, he still recognized that the Lord was his Savior. If you don't hear anything else I say all night long, gather what I'm getting ready to say. While a man can see his Lord as his Savior, it is not altogether midnight. It may seem to be a dark day in your life. I know that if I, and I want to just be, I'm just being straightforward tonight. If I was sitting in the shoes of Sister Gossett, my mind would be continually wondering what's going to be the outcome of these examinations on my boy. What is going to be the outcome of these examinations on my own body? I know when my wife, the doctor thought she might have had a problem. I know what was going through her mind. I know what was going through my mind. And the devil will paint a very bleak picture of what's going on. He'll see to it that he paints the very worst of the worst that can possibly be. Amen. And if he can do it, he can shut you up in the very thoughts of your own mind and trouble you into the point that it can almost control you in your life. Amen. Somebody say amen to that. Your thought pattern, and especially if they're evil thoughts, or if they're mournful thoughts, if they're dreadful thoughts, if they're miserable thoughts, they can almost control you in your very life, because it seems like that every way you turn, that thought is there waiting on you. If you turn to this angle and pray when your prayer's done, that same miserable thought is there. When you come to the house of God in worship and you try to put everything behind you when you walk through the doors on the way out, that same miserable thought awaits you on the outside of the door. You can say amen right there. I know that's a fact. But as long as we realize that the Lord Jesus is our Savior, all is not lost, all is not midnight. Thank God to know that He is our Savior gives us a ray of light and hope that reaches beyond the realms of the mind, the realms of the world, the realms of the devil, and takes hold by faith on the grace of God and draws faith by grace into our being and gives us what we need to overcome that terrible, miserable onslaught from our mind and from the devil and grant us a great and a glorious victory over it. Amen. It's kind of like the story I've told you so many times about Mamaw. I told this the other night. Brenda and I'd go see her, and Brenda'd say, Mamaw, do you know who I am? She'd look up, kind of squint, and she'd say, I used to know you. And I'd say, Mamaw, do you know who I am? She'd say, well, I used to know you. But I asked her one day, I said, Mamaw, do you know Jesus? And she said, how could I ever, ever forget who Jesus is? Now I'm telling you, that is the way Heman found himself here. He may have locked up in his mind with his misery so tight, shut up and couldn't get out, and life grew more miserable every day. But one thing about the man, he never forgot who the Lord was.
And I'll tell you, if we'll log that into our mind and remember who God is, it'll never grow midnight. There'll always be a ray of sunlight our way. Somebody say amen right there. That's right. Now notice this. While living, while the living God can be spoken of as the life of our salvation, our hope will not completely expire. Oh, as long as we know in our mind that He is our salvation. You read through here, Haman felt like the wrath of God was upon him. He said, I'm full of troubles. He said, I am a miserable man. But this one thing that I do know is that the Lord, He is my Savior. He is my Savior, and as long as He is my Savior, there is hope. That's why I tried to tell you there's yet hope for revival in our church. There's yet hope for revival in America. The devil would like to lead you and I to believe that there's no hope to live, there's no hope in life, and there's no hope for the church, and there's no hope for revival, and there's no hope for the station, and there's no hope for the ministry. But I want to serve notice on the devil that Jesus said He is a liar and the father of it. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. He is a liar and the father of lies.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. And as long as we know the Lord's around, there's hope, ladies and gentlemen. There's hope for revival. There's hope for the church. There's hope for your family. Some would say there's no hope for my family. One of my children is too far gone. Oh, no, no, no. Children are not too far gone. You could be locked up, shut up in your mind, and find no way out of your mind, and that thought may be eating you alive, that I've got a child that is rebellious and wayward and dying and going to hell. But I'm telling you, as long as you're coming to the house of God and realize that God is still your Savior, there's not only a ray of sunlight, there's a ray of hope that God will work in your family's life to deliver that child. Amen. That's right. And He'll always paint the worst picture can be painted. That is exactly right. Now notice this. His distress had not blown out the spark of his prayer. For he said, I cry day and night before thee. Now I want to show you something here. And I wouldn't have thought it. It hadn't blown out the spark of his prayer. But apparently, it quickened it. It quickened his prayer life. It brought his prayer life alive. It quickened his prayers and with greater ardency until they burned perpetually like a furnace of full blast. For he didn't say that I pray daily. He didn't say I pray nightly. He said I pray night and day. Day and night. I am not silent. I cry aloud to the Lord. And I'm telling you that the cure to Haman's problem was to stay with God in prayer because, ladies and gentlemen, we do serve a prayer answering God. Oh, we may grow miserable and we may become pitiful and we may be mournful and we may feel like we're beyond any help at all. But I'm here to tell you as long as there's breath in our lungs and God sits on the throne and He'll always be there and we can cry to Him, don't give up praying. In fact, intensify your praying from an occasional prayer to praying day and night before the Lord. Amen. By the way, that was supposed to be my second point. He recognized the Lord as the Savior, but he also remembered to pray. Amen. I'm telling you, most Baptists, first little snag they hit, prayer is the first thing to go. It's the first thing to go. Now you can start nodding them little heads up and down. I know you. You know why I know you? Because the last time I looked, my feet were made of clay too. And the last time I checked that Bible, we all come out of Adam. And I know how human nature is. And human nature is when trouble strikes our mind that we'll do more dwelling on the trouble than we do on the Lord. We'll do more dwelling on the problem than we do on the problem solver. Yes, sir. Amen. We need to get our mind tonight on the problem solver rather than on the problem. If you can set your eyes on the problem solver, it'll make all the darkness disappear. Amen. It'll make the sun shine brighter in your soul. I'll guarantee you on that. And it can come that way by remembering the Lord in prayer. And don't just pray, now I lay me down to sleep. The Heman intensified in prayer. He didn't just say, I'm praying occasionally, Lord, but day and night. And by the way, it wasn't day and night I pray. Day and night I cried unto the Lord. Amen. One commentator said that cry was as if a child crying after its mama for what it needed. And guess what? That child got it. Now I'm going to tell you for a little. If we'll give our children, Jesus Himself said, if you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give good things to those that love Him? In one place He said, give the Holy Spirit to them that love Him. Is anybody listening? I hope so. Listen very carefully now. Evil is transformed to good when it drives us to prayer. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Just in the case of Mary and Martha, there's no doubt in my mind that while Martha was wringing her hands, Mary sat in the house. And she wasn't playing tiddlywinks.
Amen.
She wasn't playing rook. Nor solitaire. I believe she sat in the house praying.
Amen.
Amen. And that which was thought to be evil against them, was turned, transformed into good when the Lord showed up on the scene. And as sure as He showed up on Mary and Martha's scene, He'll show up on your scene someday and open up and unlock your mind. And like a bird let out of prison, ladies and gentlemen, that evil and misery will take a flight, and joy will fill its place, and amen, and the stars will be a-ringing once again in your soul.
Amen.
I know that's right. Hallelujah. Now stay right with me. Stay right with me. Verse number 1, He said, I've cried day and night before thee. That tells me that it implies that He took aim and His direction was toward the Lord. I'm going to tell you, when I go hunting, if I want to kill a deer that comes by, I don't shoot in an oak tree 75 yards away. I shoot that deer. Now, sometimes I may hit the oak tree 75 yards away, but I'm aiming at the deer. But I'm telling you, old Heman here took aim on the Lord. I cry before thee. Day and night I cry before thee. I've set my sights on thee. I've got my aim on thee. And I'm not about to let you go. Lord, I'm caught up with such misery. I'm caught up with such full of such troubles. I feel like the wrath of God is poured out upon me. And I have got to find an escape. I've got to find relief. I've got to find help. I've set aim on you and I will not turn you loose like Jacob. Wrestled with the angel and refused to turn loose till God delivered him. Was the shape that Heman is in here right now. Now, stay right with me. Now, notice. Notice He says in verse number 2. He says, let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. If there's offenses that prevent the Lord from giving a favorable regard to your request, let's talk to Him about doing something about it. Come on now, let's just be right. Let's just be right honest. There's times when God shuts us up. There's times when God shuts us up because of S-I-N, a sin sick soul. And there's only one way to get through that. And that is implore God to get it out of the way. And the last time I checked the Bible, there's only one way of getting it out of the way. That is to acknowledge that sin, confess that sin, and forsake that sin, and they that do shall find mercy.
But I'm telling you, until it's done, God's hand can be heavy upon you. And by the way, God was behind everything happening in Haman's life. I talked about the devil's ways a while ago, but it was not the way of Satan in his life. It was the hand of God that was heavy upon him, like it was David with Bathsheba, when his spirit was turned into the drought of the summertime. Amen. I'm going to tell you, God ever puts His hand on you, you'll know it's on there. If God ever sets your barley field on fire, you'll know it's on there. Amen. Now, I'm afraid we've got people just as miserable as Haman. Notice what he said in verse 3. For my soul is full of troubles. My heart is filled up with troubles and adversities till I can hold no more. Anybody in here ever been that way? Or am I just blowing wind tonight? Anybody feel like your troubles are full up? That you have took all you can take? That if something don't give, you're going to blow a gasket? Oh, don't tell me people hadn't been that way. I know people have been that way. Haman said, I'm full of troubles. There's not room for one more. I've had all I can take. But he clung to that one hope.
Amen.
That God is my Savior.
Yes.
And God answers prayer.
Exactly.
Now I know there ain't anybody in here ever been that way. That's why y'all come in skipping through the front door on every church service. And that's why you leave here so happy after every service. And you're just overwhelmed and with joy and be overflowing with the Holy Ghost and happy as little larks are singing to one another. You know what our problem is? We're too embarrassed and too ashamed to admit to God that we've got those troubles. I know whereof I'm talking. I had a preacher to call me today and said, I didn't tell him no different. He said, by the way, how you getting along with your Parkinson's? I said, doing pretty good with it. I've been through this stuff with people 1,000 times. I made up my mind I ain't going through it with them no more.
Amen.
Whatever the problem is, I don't want to be reminded of it.
Right.
Because my own mind reminds me of it enough.
Amen.
There's times that I feel like I'm shut up with nobody but me and my disease and we're arguing with one another.
Amen.
Now I'm telling it I'm going to get over you and it's telling me, no, you ain't. I've got the tiger for the tail, buddy.
Amen.
And I don't intend to turn loose. But the Lord is my Savior. Oh, He can be your Savior, but I've still got a hold of you.
Yes. Amen. Right.
You ever been full up of troubles? Finances got so out of whack, you didn't feel like you couldn't pay your bills. You didn't know what to do.
Amen.
Family got so bent out of joint with one another that you found no consolation in family fellowship anymore.
Amen.
Any of you men in here ever find your wife like Job found his? Curse God and die!
Yes, sir. Amen.
Ever been that full of troubles? You just felt like pulling your hair out by the roots?
Amen.
You know you have! And if we'd be honest with one another tonight and be honest as a church, we'd get help.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, when you shut up to yourself, when you shut up in that prison cell and there's no way out, I'm going to tell you the first, hey, those thoughts start running through there, don't nobody love me. God don't even love me. Oh, my wife don't even love me no more. Or my husband don't love me anymore. Nobody at the church loves me anymore. Amen, Brother Hall. Shut up in your mind and can't get out. In a prison house. I told my wife yesterday, I said, and I finally let a little out of my prison. I said, baby, if this pain don't ease up, I don't think I can bear it much longer. Because I'll go through days in the month when my pain in my body, I lay down at night and it's so unbearable, I can't sleep. It's like I've got a
like my whole body's on fire. Just like an aching, throbbing toothache or a headache running through my whole body. And I can get up in the morning and feel fine. And I'm telling you, I can go from zero to pain in about 10 seconds. Somebody says, what is it? I don't know. But I made up my mind, hey. Now, Miss Hall said it's already drove me crazy, but I made up my mind I ain't going to let it drive me crazy, buddy. She's more than I am. But it can. And I'm going to read something to you in a minute that's going to knock some of you slap off your little old chair that you're sitting on. I'm going to read you something in a minute that Charles Spurgeon said, and we've all ridiculed at one time or another. We have all poked fun at it at one time or another. We've all said it's not real one time or another. But oh, I've come to realize that according to the bearded prophet, it is real. And it's going to shock you. Now, don't nobody leave me. Stay right with me. Verse number 3 said, for my soul is full of troubles. My life draweth nigh unto the grave. How sad to have our prayer return unto an empty soul that remains full of grief. Right. You ever been there? To pray and your prayer returns right back to a soul that is full of grief. Yes. An empty prayer. And, oh, we make jokes about it. Well, his praying didn't get any higher than his upper lip. And a lot of times it's right. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times we don't know what that man or that woman's going through. I'm telling you, we cannot read. I don't think there's any palm readers in here tonight. If there are, tell me, I won't vote you out. I don't believe we've got any witches in here tonight, and I don't think there's any prophets in here tonight that can read the mind, and I know God is not literally in here to read the hearts of everybody and tell us what's in everybody's heart. Amen. And how many times have we prayed and that prayer has come back that empty to a soul that's still full of troubles? And in that prayer, we're to be casting all of our care upon Him because He cares for us. And somehow, I've even had people to ask me, how do you cast your care upon Him? I'm going to tell you, that's a tough question. Oh, it's easy for me to get up here and preach, and it's easy for other people to get up here and say, all you got to do is cast all your care upon the Lord because He cares for you. And no doubt He does care for us. But ladies and gentlemen, how can we back up like a dump truck and dump it on Him? I don't know that I can tell you that. Amen. It's done by the emptying of the soul and the emptying of the self and turning your entire being over to God and letting Him control you rather than you controlling yourself at times. I don't know all the answers. I used to be a time I'd have told you stand up here, I know it. But I've learned that I'm not as wise and smart as I thought I was. And so don't you get up here and make a fool out of yourself someday either. Because I've got news for you. You don't know all the answers either. Now, listen very carefully. One consolation. He said, I'm full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. Now, he didn't say he was going to hell, but he felt like he was at the point of death. But there's even one consolation at that, and I said there was some sunlight here, if we can get a hold of it. Have you ever, come on now, tell Brother Hall the truth in your little heart. There's been times when you sit down to yourself, and said things were so bad it couldn't be any worse if I just died. Amen! We've got the rubber on the road tonight, ladies and gentlemen, whether you know it or not. And some people can make life miserable for themselves. They can allow themselves to get in that place. Now stay right with me. There's one consolation. That is to be able to see the footprints of our brethren who have trodden down that desert path many, many times before us. He said, I'm nigh to the grave. What he's saying is they've been a whole lot that went to the grave before I'm going. So there's bound to be a pathway of the brethren that's leading down that way in front of me. And I'm telling you, somebody said, I'm the only one that's going through what I'm going through. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the same temptation also make a way of escape.
Amen.
Brother Peter said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which trieth you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you.
Right.
Not a strange thing.
Amen.
I'm telling you, the fires that I'm talking about, Heman's in, if you've been saved very long, every one of you in here tonight have already been there. And if you haven't been there, I guarantee you before this life ends, unless Jesus comes probably within the next short while, you'll be there.
Right.
Somebody said, well, don't bother me. This young man stood up tonight and said, I know how old I am. And if war breaks out and they start the draft, I might have to go to war. And I'm telling you just that quick, my mind said, yeah, and I've got a grandson that could be there at the same time. Don't tell me your mind. Hey, don't tell me you can't be shut up in your mind with thoughts of that nature when I know better. And buddy, it's altogether different story. If it's somebody else, now I hate to quote Jeremiah right, but sometimes a chicken's going to come home to roost.
Amen.
By the way, B.R. Lakin preached that a long time before that black preacher. Before that black orator came along. I wouldn't call him a preacher. To me, he's a Jesse Jackson Sr. and an Al Sharpton Jr. Put all three of them in a paper bag wet and shook it up. Sometimes which one of them fall out first.
Right.
Amen. I ain't got no time for God. I ain't got no time for America haters.
Amen.
And I don't know why they want to keep bringing up this issue about slaves. I ain't never had none. But I've been a dollar. I'd take the Bible and prove to that black man slavery was wrong with God in the book.
Amen.
If you want to start a race riot, just tell them I said that.
Amen.
But it's in there, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
In fact, there were voluntary slaves in the Bible.
Right.
And they all wasn't black. Won't charge you anything for that. Now, notice verse number 4. He said, I'm counted with them that go down into the pit. I'm as a man that hath no strength. No strength. He said, my mind is weaker than my body. And my body is... And my faith is weakest of all. My mind is weaker than my body. And I'm going to say something about mind and body here in just a minute. But my faith is the weakest of all. That's what he's basically saying there. He said, I am as a man that hath no strength. None. Zilch. I can't resist anymore. Come on now, don't quit on me. I know we're slow. This is what you ever got to the point where you felt like trouble after trouble after trouble and you couldn't resist it any longer. You didn't have the stamina to fight it anymore.
Amen.
That you had lost your fight. Have you ever seen, and God forbid, I'm not yet carnal, have you ever seen a boxer? And he gets jolted around pretty good. And he starts bleeding a little bit and he's cut. He's bleeding. And in a minute he starts backing off. You hear that man in his ring corner saying, you've lost your heart. You've lost your heart. And I'm telling you, a lot of Baptists have lost their heart. They're full of troubles and they've lost their heart. They feel like they cannot resist anymore. But I'm telling you by the grace of God. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes it cannot be made alone. God's people, including the man of God, sometimes have to have somebody to lean on, somebody to talk to, somebody to pray with, somebody to ask for help with.
Amen.
Now, listen carefully, verse number 5. He said, free. Now, can you get free among the dead? Free among the dead. Like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. He said, I'm just like them that lay in the grave. Dead. Cut off from your hand. And said, you don't even remember him anymore. He felt like God had forgotten him. Forgot where he was at in life. Forgot the trouble he was in. Pretty sad shape. Listen to what I'm getting ready to read you. What I'm getting ready to read you. He was unbound from all the links a man has to life. He was familiar with death's door. He was a free man in the sepulcher of self. A free man in his own grave. In the sepulcher of himself. Free in there to roam around within himself. No restraints from within, but no power to get out. Now I'm trying to preach this the best I can. I'm telling you, it probably ain't no easier on me than it is on you. But I guarantee that some of you sitting here tonight not paying a bit of attention that needs exactly what I'm trying to tell you. Because I'm going to tell you something. I learned a long time ago, Baptists give up in heart a long time before they ever really give up in everything else. Now listen carefully. It is a sad case when hope lies in the direction of death and our only liberty of spirit is amid the horrors of death itself. In other words, what are you saying here? The only way I can find liberty is death. This man may have been near suicide. What's somebody looking down for? This man may have been now taking his own life. He had gotten to that point. Somebody said, oh, saved people can't do that. You believe what you want to believe. I don't believe that. I believe they can. I believe they have. I'm telling you, you get the wrong notions running through your head. I'm going to tell you what the wrong notions running through your head. It can turn a man against his wife. And I'm going to tell you your own mind. Years ago, I was determined in my mind that Miss Hall had a feller on the internet. I'd try to sneak in there on her, I'd sneak in her thing. Then I'd scare her and she'd say, how long you been standing in here? Why you sneak up on me like that for? Oh, I said, I'd say, if I'd been one of them gooks, I'd have had you. Come on now, gentlemen. You say, well, I ain't never been there. Maybe you've never been, maybe the devil's never been turned loose on you the way he has me. Somebody said, do you believe that? No. No more. But I learned how to pray. And I'm telling you, you can let something like that. A jealous man becomes an insane man.
Amen.
Because if I find out there ever was, I don't care where the egg sucker was at, me and that M16 go looking for him. Amen. 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 But I'm really not worried about that. And I'm going to be honest with you. At the time, you know it's not true. And I guarantee there's been things that went through your mind that's troubled you and worried you maybe for days, maybe for weeks. And you know they're not true.
Right.
But you cannot escape them. You cannot prevent them from hounding you every minute, every hour of the day, every waking moment. It's like a hound on the trail of a rabbit. It's not going to give up until that rabbit darts in that hole, buddy. Y'all listening? He'll make you suspicious of people. Your mind can make you dream some pretty stupid thoughts about other people. And I'm talking about people that love you. Listen to this now. his feet, or he felt as if he were utterly forgotten, as those whose carcasses are left to rot on the battlefield. As when a soldier mortally wounded bleeds unheeded amid the heaps of the slain and remains to his last inspiring groan. Unpitied, unsuccored, so did Haman sigh in his own soul, lonely and sorrowful, feeling as if God himself had forgotten him. Felt like a dead man on a battlefield, sighing in his last groan and his last moan. And I guarantee you there's no doubt that that old fella I call Slewfoot was standing over here somewhere along the sidelines, busting his gut, laughing every minute of the way. Oh, and he will. And if he sees a weak point, he'll egg it on! He'll blow it up worse than it is. Jerry Clark used to say, minimize every situation. And I can say that to you tonight. You minimize every situation, friend. You learn that things is not nearly as bad as what our minds think they are. Now, here's the one I've been wanting to get to. I'm getting ready to knock some of you right out on the floor. I'm getting ready to see you fall. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, never ridicule the nervous, and I hope I pronounced this word right, and the hypochondriacal. In other words, don't ridicule nervous people. Are hypochondriacs. He said, their pain is real. But he goes on to say, though much of their evil lies in the imaginations, it is not imaginary. Now, buddy, that's way over my head. You ever been around somebody that when somebody else gets sick, they get the same sickness? Ever been around somebody that's constantly dying? We say, we ain't nothing but a hypochondriac. Spurgeon said, don't ridicule that person. Because although it evil lies in their imaginations, it's not imaginary. Their pain is real. I'm telling you, your mind. Come on now. I see some of you kind of looking strange. I'm telling you, your mind. I asked my nurse, my medicine doctor in the PTSD clinic. I said, I got one question for you, Dr. Malik. And don't ask her too many because we can't understand her too well. I said, have they ever associated physical pain with PTSD, which is just an emotional problem with the mind? Oh, yes. Much pain. You don't know this? You don't know this? I said, no, nobody ever told me that. Much pain. But I'm here to tell you it's not real. But it is real. Yeah. Somebody said, you have, Flip. We're getting another pastor. Whatever you want to do. Amen. But you know they've got a medication out. And right here, I bet right here is a living example. Is that leg that you lost, has it ever hurt you?
Yes, sir.
Oh, surely. How can a man without a leg hurt where he's got no leg?
Man, true.
They have come out with a medication that helps amputees with pain where there is no pain.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't tell me I'm off base. And Spurgeon didn't go to medical college. He's smarter now. All that bunch of quacks down in Nashville put together.
Amen.
I swear that I said, well, what about that? The bearded prophet done helped me out one more time. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Now, verse number 6, I'll be done in a minute. Now, it's laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deeps. What a collection of forcible metaphors, each one expressive of the utmost grief. He considered his grief to be as a dungeon, a confinement in the realms
of the dead. That's where he thought he was at. What a metaphor. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deep. In other words, he's using a metaphor there. He said, Lord, he said, I'm shut up in my I'm shut up and I can't get out. And you've laid me in a place called hell in my own mind. He was living in the hell of hells, ladies and gentlemen, in his own mind and couldn't get out. The mind can descend far deeper than the body. For in the mind lies bottomless pits. Must say amen.
Amen.
I want to read this. The body can bear only a certain number of wounds and no more. Eventually the body's going to die. It can only bear so much. But I'm telling you, your mind can die 1,000 times an hour.
Right. Yes, sir.
I'm shut up! There's no escape! There's no way out! Oh, yes, there's a way out and it's up!
Yeah.
There's a grace way! There's a hope way!
Yeah.
There's a God way! God's still on the throne. God's still our Savior. God's still our Lord. He still bled for us. He still died for us. Nay, brethren, He rose again for us. As I've said so often, praise God, He's coming again. Hallelujah. Would to God He'd come right now. Woo! Hey, man, I'm ready to roll. Amen. Hallelujah. God never, get this now. God, you're talking about how bad a shape Haman is in. Grieved, lonely, desolate, full of troubles, full of sorrow, wrath of God is upon him. But he reminds himself that God never placed Joseph in a pit without drawing him out to put him on a throne. Woo! Do you want a new door in this building? Where do you want one? Now, can you get a hold of that? God has never taken anyone so low without having a throne to exalt them to. In other words, God's got something in mind. He took our Lord down into the sides of the deep. Down into the very pit of hell. He descended first into the heart of the earth. And then preached to the captives. And led the captives that were captive all their lives. Had a captivity into the glorious realms of God. The blood had been offered, ladies and gentlemen. Thank God we may be shut up in our mind. But there's liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless His wonderful holy name. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Hey. Amen, Brother Hall, I think I'll have a shout and spell. Amen, that's right. Thank God. Amen. You never know what God's getting ready to do with Island Ford Baptist Church. Somebody said, we can't get no lower. Good, thank God. If we can't get any lower, we can't get any lower. There ain't but one way to go. Whoop, and that's up. Hallelujah. Ain't that right or not? It took me a while to get there, but I finally, I can't be anymore. It takes me a while to get there, John, but I get there. Sometimes I think slowing down like this soaks in a little bit more anyway. Good statements soaks in. You know what? I wrote this down. Many see the lion like Samson. But they never see the honey in the carcass.
Right.
Woo! Ha! How many of you would see a lion say, whoa! And walk on by. And they ain't got enough sense to know there's honey in the carcass. Thank God. Oh, Samson had enough sense to know that the lion he had killed, God had put honey in that carcass. I'm going to tell you something else. No one, very few people ever get by the thorns to smell the roses that adorn the thorn.
Right.
Hey,
Amen. Yes. Thank God there may be thorns in life, but they're all on a rose bush. Yes. And His name is a rose of Sharon. Yes. Have you smelled His fragrance lately? He smells sweeter than the morning dew. Yes. Hallelujah. Sweeter than the lily. Praise His wonderful name. Yes. He's sweeter than nectar in the flower and honey in the honeycomb. He's sweeter than sugar. Hallelujah to God. He's worth more than gold. Yay, much fine gold. Thanks be unto God. He may take us to the very depth, but He'll always lift us out and exalt us to the heights as well. I've got a funny feeling our next way up is not only up, but it's out. Amen. It ain't going to be up, up and away, my beautiful blue. God help you, young man.
Amen.
Now, verse number 7, He said, Thy wrath lieth hard upon me. Thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves, Selah. The wrath of God is a very hell of hell. Now, I'm going to tell you what Spurgeon said. Spurgeon said when he came to that 7th verse and said, Selah, he said, Lord, can I have one little break and let me get my head up above the waves and catch one breath of air before the next wave comes my way.
Amen.
I said, glory.
Amen.
God will never let us go all the way under. Thank God He'll always provide us. Selah! Let us pause for a little while. March around the throne. Worship by grace. Amen. And praise with our very being to the God of glory who loved us and died for us. And prepare yourself for the next billow is about to set in. But beyond every billow, there's another Selah. Behind every wave, there's a low spot. On the other side of every valley, there's a mountain. I wrote a new song the other night. All y'all were out here singing. I said, I'm living in the valley underneath a cloudy sky. Praise God. I'm not drinking from the fountain, for it has just run dry. Oh, yes, I'm feasting on the thorns and the thistles from a bountiful supply. I'm no longer in view, little hand. Woo! I'm going to take you to land just inside,
little
hand. Be unto God. Just tiptoe out on the brink of the Jordan and take a look and gaze over yonder in that fair and happy land where our possessions lie.
Amen.
It may be shut up to self today, but I'm telling you, she's wide open gates tomorrow. And it's heaven bound with a hammer down. Amen. Like that little old truck. My little truck nurse says heaven bound with a hammer down. We stopped in down at Brother's Barbecue a week or two ago and got a little bite to eat. And they got a big truck in there about that long, about that tall. I said, boy, that's all sitting there. I said, I sure would like to have a truck, a big truck like that one. She didn't know what truck I was talking about. She said, how would you ever buy fuel to drive it? I said, baby, I ain't talking about that big semi. I'm talking about that little truck right over. Oh! I knew there's some reason she was blonde-headed when we got married. Verse 8, I'm done. He was shut up to himself. I'm shut up and I cannot come forth. His friends were, when most needed, had been far removed from him. And I'm going to tell you, when you're sick in body or sick in soul, you need friends. He was a prisoner in the room of his mind and felt like a criminal in cell block 13. His mind was bound with fetters of iron.
He felt no liberty of hope. He could take no flight of joy. When God shuts friends out and shuts us in to pine away alone, it's no wonder that tears water our bed at night. And it can happen. Bound in the prison cell. Anybody here like that tonight? Let's stand together.